go to a conference, you know, really in expectation that we're going to encounter the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be fired up again and ready to do something. Or we go for one of those times of soaking somewhere. Remember we used to have this Toronto times of soaking? We need to be fired up, and we want to have that excitement welling up within us. But then it doesn't seem to happen. You know, perhaps the prophetic word we were hoping for from Sunday goes for somebody else. I had one for Ulysses just as you were praying, and I felt just when blind Bartimaeus came up to Jesus and Jesus said, "What do you want?" There was an obvious thing he needed, his eyes to be fixed. And he said that and Jesus healed him. I just felt that Jesus was willing also to see if there was something beyond the obvious. And I think when you're out there, if you keep your ears open to Jesus, as you're dealing with people, God will give you prompting to ask them what they want beyond the obvious. And you'll have conversations that go beyond the obvious. And sometimes we all want a prophetic word, don't we? And very often we're not the ones who get it. So I want to look at a challenge for us that maybe will help to rekindle that. And from Romans 12, Paul's letter to the church at Romans 12. And if you've got a Bible that has little subheadings in, that were never biblical, but somebody's put them there, the subheading in the translation I was looking at when I was reading this was a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice for Jesus. Now, on the surface, it's not that exciting, Romans 12. In fact, it's a bit demanding. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you, and let them be a living, holy sacrifice, the kind that will be acceptable to him. Give your bodies over to God. We often think about giving our spirits, don't we? We think in spiritual terms. But Romans, the challenge is, give your body over to God. You know, because these bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Paul points that out again to the church at Corinth later on. These are temples. Give your body. When it speaks of giving your body, that speaks more than praying for people or prophesying. It speaks more than that if I'm giving my body over to Christ, because my body does a lot more than just talk or prophesy or pray or even meditate on scriptures. Give your body over to Christ. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. This is truly the way to worship. Remember, we've looked before about biblical worship is to bow down before God as a servant would before a master, to seek to know his will and then to go out and do it. And that all ties in with this, giving your bodies over to God to do what God wants to do through these bodies. Not just in the spiritual realm, through these bodies, the things he wants to do. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but Lord, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Now, one day you're going to say to me, "Don't say this anymore, John, because you'll be sick of me saying it." But this is a mantra for me. I'm doing a meeting, an all-day meeting tomorrow with a head of department and four managers in the council. I'm going to change the way they think. They don't know it yet, but they are. They're going to have a day of changing the way they think. They're going to discover what Jesus leadership is about as opposed to secular leadership. They don't know that yet, but that's what they're going to get. And this thing about thoughts produce feelings, feelings produce actions. Take every thought captive to Christ. Pull down those strongholds. Set your mind on things above where your life is hidden in Christ, not things below. The mind has to be changed. So we can live not the way of the world, but give our bodies over as a living sacrifice to Christ. And he says, so change the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So that suggests that the way we think, if we think in secular ways, stops us from truly knowing what the will of God is for us. Because Paul's suddenly moving this out of the secular, giving your bodies over to Christ, to live like Christ, even though you're living in the everyday stuff of life. Then you will know what God's will is for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Now that seems a bit of a put down after he's saying all that, but actually it's in the context of relationship. He said, don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. So he just wants to get that in there. He's talking about you giving your life over to Christ, your body over to God for the purposes of God. But don't forget it's in the context. So we're not going to become superstars, you know, and off doing our own thing. We're going to be doing this in the context of each other and relationships, many parts. In his grace, God has given us all different gifts for doing certain things well. Do you know what God's given gifts is for you? And do you do them well? Do you know what they are? Or are you still waiting to discover? Are you still waiting? Are you still waiting for that word to tell you what your gift is from God? Well, I suspect you've got it, you're using it, but you don't recognize it some of the time. That's how I read this as I go through this. If God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. Great, we'd all like to do that, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we all love to be a prophetic person, be able to speak prophetic words of life unto everybody? But Paul then goes on to say, if your gift is serving others, serve them well. And he keeps doing this. You know, those that we might think are super gifts, it's very spiritual, but actually in the same context of this, if your gift is serving, serve well. Do we get as excited about who's pouring the tea and coffee as who can come and give a word of prophecy? We should do. Yeah. We should do, because God does. Because God has given that gift, and who are we to judge another man's servant? God has given that. If you're a teacher, teach well. Again, great. Isn't it good if you can have those gifts and you can stand and expound from the Bible? Like my great Bible knowledge, you can get up and talk about anything and teach about anything. But he goes on to say, if you're a teacher, teach well. But if your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. So along with prophecy and teaching, serving and encouraging, right in there. Right in there. And when I'm thirsty, I want somebody to serve me, not to teach me about why I'm thirsty. And if I'm hungry, I want somebody to serve me, you know? If you are, if it's giving, give generously. Now, we all hopefully understand the baselines of tithing and stuff like that. But then there's a gift of generous giving as well, isn't there? And people who really give generously and go beyond that. Where am I? I can't keep my thumb on this. If I put my thumb on it to mark my place, then it goes to a new page. Okay. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. Particularly poignant today, isn't it? And if you've got a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. So we made a rightly so, a thing about leadership this morning. But what about those gifts of kindness? God values that as much as he values leaders. He really does. God is the most generous and kind God I've ever known. Because I've only ever known one. But God is God and he's generous and kind. I know that on top of that, there are some general things for all of us. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Don't go through the motions. Who's had those words? I just want to tell you something in love. No. Oh, no. You know you're going to be told off. But really love them. And the really love them there is agape love. Keep no record of wrong. Always think the best. You know, all that kind of stuff that you read in 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13 isn't just for a marriage ceremony, you know that. It's for the Christian life of loving each other. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with a genuine affection. Now, that comes in filial love as well. Not just agape love. Really, that affectionate love for each other. And take delight in honouring each other. Take delight in honouring each other. Again, very often we honour people who are out the front. Rightly so, we've honoured Mike today. And we often honour whoever's leading the praise time and whatever. But take delight in honouring each other. How often do we do that? How often do we seek somebody out? What does it mean to honour somebody? You can work that out for yourself, because I don't know. I'd have to look at the dictionary to really find out what it means to honour somebody. I've got my idea, but I suspect it's a lot deeper. I might even actually look the Greek up on that word when I get home. And it says, love each other with genuine affection, take delight in honour each other, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Now, the context of never be lazy and work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically has to go in the context of what Paul's just said before. So if your gifting is serving, if you're gifted in kindness, if you're gifted in teaching, if you're gifted in prophecy, if you're gifted in generosity, then don't become complacent about it. Be enthusiastic. And that word enthusiastic, when I did look it up, speaks about with excitement and haste, the Greek word there, with real excitement and haste, get about doing that stuff. Rejoice in our confident hope. This is general again. Be patient in trouble. Keep on praying. And when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. You're great at that here. You really are great. Always be eager to practice hospitality. There you are. I've just touched my thumb on that and I've jumped up about 10 pages. And hospitality. Practice hospitality. That means it takes practice, I guess. And some people are very good at that and some like me are not so good at that. I'm an introvert and I find it hard, but I've got to practice doing that. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Now, you can just say that, but that speaks of real empathy, doesn't it? Oh, I'm glad you're happy you've retired, Mike, and you've got a whole new thing. I can say that, but am I really happy for you, Mike? Really happy for you? And I'm sorry that's going on in somebody's life, but how sorry am I? Empathy is different than sympathy. You know that, don't you? With sympathy, what we do, we see somebody who's got something going on and we project on them how we think we would feel. Empathy is when you get really into understanding how they feel and you feel the same. I think that's what's talking about. Empathize with each other. Live in harmony with each other. Live in harmony. And don't be proud to be enjoy the company of ordinary people. I don't think we've got that problem here at all. And he says, and don't think you know it all. I love that, because what that speaks to me is about I've got to be dependent on God and I've got to be dependent on each other. I always say, I believe what I believe and I hold it as precious, but I hold it loosely because I might be wrong. And somebody else is going to teach me things I think I've got right about that I'm wrong about. Pride gets in the way of all that, doesn't it? So just take a grip, keep an eye on that sort of thing. Don't think we know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you're honourable. Well, this is going beyond the congregation, isn't it? Again, what does it mean to be honourable? Am I living my life so people can see that in me, in the things that I do, and the way that I address my neighbours or whatever it may be? Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. What a challenge. Because to be quite honest, sometimes I like not being at peace with everyone, because I like to feel a bit angry and have a good moan internally. But we've got to do everything we can to live at peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, love your enemies. Feed them if they're hungry. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals and shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Wow, what challenges to life. What challenges to the Christian life. I read that and I think, crikey, Paul, if we do all of that, we haven't got time for anything else. I haven't got time to wait for another word of knowledge on what I should do. There's enough there to keep me going for a lifetime, isn't there? There is, really. But that's what we're called to do. That's how we're called to live the Christian life. Are we to work enthusiastically at those things? You know, it's easy, as I said, to get excited about prophecy or laying hands on the sick, especially if we see a healing and a miracle. And it's easy when we do that, or if we're going to do that, to dig into God, isn't it? I'm going somewhere maybe on Sunday, and I'm going to do some teaching on prophecy, and so I want to be able to prophesy, Lord. I want you to back it up with words of prophecy, Lord. So I'm really going to pray about that, Lord. I'm really going to pray. I'm going to dig in and call on you, Lord. Or when I'm coming somewhere on a Sunday to speak, I get up at 6 o'clock Sunday mornings, because I have to make sure I get my prayer time in and get myself right with God and wait upon God before I come along. It's easy to do that when you're doing something like that. But would I get up at 6 o'clock and wait upon God and ask, Holy Spirit, you really need to empower me today, Lord. I really want to know your presence when I go and meet with my brothers and sisters at Petersfield, because I'm serving teas and coffees. Would we do that? We should do, because serving goes along with prophecy here. Do we get excited and think, you know, the people who come in and set up every morning, you know, Robbie and whoever happens to wander in and help, you know, oh, Lord, I want to get there early. I want to get there early, Lord. I want you to empower me and enable me to help set up. And I want to serve that way by doing this stuff. I want to do that. Because then we've got to call upon God. And then we've got to see God at work in that with expectation. And at the end of the day, I don't know where you do, but sometimes for me, I have some routines in my prayer time. And somewhere, you know, in the morning, I'm praying about everything I'm going to be doing. And then late afternoon or evening, I'm thanking God for the things I've done and I've been able to do. And I'll be honest, I really am being honest with this. This isn't just to make it fit with this, but I get as excited in thanking God for if I've been able to, I don't know, have a neighbour and give them a cup of coffee, as I do about being able to have a prophetic word with somebody or share from Scripture. Because that's how we should be living our life. And suddenly, the mundane stuff of life, the everyday stuff of life that we do, that when we were first young Christians and baptized in the Spirit, and we used to see a wonderful opportunity. Look, Jesus is with me wherever I'm going. I'm doing this, that, and the other. Suddenly, we start to get that excitement back. Because I don't want to do the ordinary day stuff of life unless I've committed it to Jesus. And unless I've asked the Holy Spirit to come and empower me. And I want to see the Holy Spirit empower me in that and to do it well. And to do it as if I'm doing it unto God. That's what worship is. Give your bodies over as a living sacrifice. Is to there say, Lord, with my body, all that I do, I'm doing it unto you. Now this might seem a little bit OTT. Because it is. Because the truths of the kingdom of God does seem strange compared with the way we look at things of the world. It looks so, we've got used to doing stuff, and church, we've got used to doing it so much in a certain way, that when the Holy Spirit challenges us to do it different, It seemed strange, like Toronto seemed weird, didn't it? I remember when Toronto broke in with us and I had to go running off over to Canada to find out what was happening, because suddenly Sunday was ballistic and we didn't know what was going on. We're Pentecostals and we know all about the Holy Spirit. Yeah, right, we really didn't. And the things of God, when we get revelation from God, sometimes it can seem really OTT. But the reason I know this isn't OTT, the reason I know this is because of the more sure word of prophecy, which is Scripture. And Scripture says it, and Jesus lived it. When Jesus was a carpenter and earning the income for the family because Joseph had died, he did everything he did unto the Father. I never do anything unless I know it's what the Father has given me, Jesus said. So when he was doing his carpentry stuff, he was doing that as his body was given over fully. I'm talking about Jesus, the last Adam, was also fully given over to God. You can't have your body more given over to God than God incarnate. And so everything he did, he would have done in the power of the Holy Spirit unto the Father. That was the way Jesus lived his life of worship, a living sacrifice unto God. And I think when we start to do that, and we start to change our thinking, as Paul said at the beginning, you've got to change your thinking to do this. As we do that and see things that way, suddenly life becomes very exciting. It becomes very Spirit-filled. I haven't got time to go off to a conference and spend some time soaking in the Spirit, because I'm trying to do what the Holy Spirit is telling me to do, and that seems to fill up all of my day. But I'm really trying to be totally obedient to him in all of that sort of thing. A couple of weeks ago, where's Jill? There's Jill. A couple of weeks ago, a few of us were out for a meal locally, and Jill was sat opposite me, and she was just talking about something when she was away with Ali and Steve and Tim. They were away on holiday somewhere. I know Jill, see if I get this right, but it really impressed me when you said it. Ali and Jill saw this lady in not the best of circumstances. Am I telling the story right, or do you need to come and tell this, Jill? Am I going to get this right? Okay, I'll stop, but correct me if I get it wrong. But in a nutshell, it was about they were able to go alongside this lady, a stranger, and help her and bless her and sort stuff out for her and get her some things. Is that in a nutshell? Homeless person, yeah. That's it. So this homeless lady, and they got alongside her and they blessed her with stuff and did this. And when Jill was telling me, she was really, I could see the excitement. I really caught the excitement of her. And it was exciting to do that, isn't it? Know you're doing the things of God. And yet it was everyday stuff. It was everyday stuff. Helping this woman, fixing her up with stuff, being kind to her, showing her the love of God. And I could see Jill was really blessed by that. Because Scripture says, doesn't it, as we give, God gives back to us, pressed down, shaken, overflowing. And sometimes that pressed down, shaken, overflowing that God gives back isn't necessarily the practical things. Did you buy some clothes for or stuff? Yeah. Yeah, some shopping and things, but I should have got up here to do this, shouldn't I? So, but God didn't give you back a load of clothes after that, did he? Pressed down, shaken, and overflowing. Often the thing that God gives us back is the blessing and the joy of giving. Pressed down, shaken, and overflowing. And life becomes exciting. Now, you can't go away and go on a conference like that every day of the week. You've got lives to live and jobs to do. But you can have your eyes open to do those things every day of the week. You know, I like that one about generosity. We all go shopping and we go in the supermarket or wherever to buy whatever it is. But what about just as you're doing that, Lord, is there anything you want me to buy and give to somebody else and to bless them? And just do that. And maybe suddenly knock on your next door neighbor's door with something. I was just in the shop, I really thought of you, and I bought this for you. Why not? see if God wants to do that through us and be a blessing to people in the name of Jesus. Paul said, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know God's will. See, we have to change our thinking, first of all, to line up with the truth of God, the revealed truth of God. And when we do that, everything else becomes different. And when we line our thinking up and believe that just as Jesus has sat here and here and here and here and here and here and here, when you go from here on Monday, wherever you are carrying the presence of Jesus. You're his body. And God wants to do through you today what he did through Jesus then. And bring in his kingdom, touching the lives of people. And life gets really, really exciting then. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father. Thank you. Father, thank you for that reality, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful truth of Scripture, Lord, that gives us the bedrock of understanding for everything else you want to say and do for us, Lord. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for your Holy Spirit poured out upon us and within us, that everybody here is a temple of your holy presence, Holy Spirit. And we want to live our lives in the power of you, Holy Spirit, and in the name and authority of you, Lord Jesus, as our worship unto you, our Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.